China's third manned space mission is underway. Yves Rossi postpones his English Channel crossing. And shareholders approve the Delta Northwest merger almost unanimously. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, September 26, 2008. China has successfully launched its third manned spaceflight, sending three Taikonauts on board the Shenzhou 7 into orbit in a dramatic nighttime launch from the Jiquan Satellite Launch Center in the desert of northwest China's Gansu province. The press association reports the mission is expected to last 3 days and will include China's first extravehicular activity or spacewalk. The three men on board are all 42 years old, all former pilots in the People's Liberation Army, and all members in good standing of the Communist Party. Though Chinese officials haven't officially commented on which Taikonaut will have the honor of becoming the country's first spacewalker, other reports say it will be Colonel Zhai Zhigang, who's expected to release a small satellite that can beam video of the spacewalk back to Earth. By the way, something funny happened on the way to space. More at the end of this AeroCast. A Swiss adventurer listened to his inner voices and scrubbed a historic flight across the English Channel due to weather yesterday. There was a crowd waiting along the 22-mile waterway near Calais, France, to watch Yves Rossi become the first man to fly across the Channel using a strap-on, jet-powered carbon wing. However, shortly before his planned takeoff, he told a London Times reporter on the English side, quote, "The visibility is not so good that I can see. In these conditions, it is too dangerous. I have only one life and I don't want to lose it. I follow my little bees in my body and say no. The risk is that I lose navigation because I navigate only with my eyes and the sun. If I have a problem, suddenly I'm alone somewhere in the cloud. I'm not disappointed. I would be disappointed to be in the water now and tomorrow it is perfect blue sky," unquote. Rossi may make another attempt today. If he doesn't make the flight by Sunday, he's going to have to wait a while. He's due back at work Monday morning at Swiss Air, where he's an airline pilot. Lots of airline pilots have told me over the years they fly small planes on their days off to reconnect with the joys of simple stick and rudder flight. Most of them look for a Cub or a Champ or even a gyroplane. Rossi has taken it to an extreme. Northwest Airlines and Delta Airlines shareholders overwhelmingly approved the merger of their two companies yesterday. The FAA has already signed off on the deal, leaving only approval by the U.S. Justice Department remaining. The Associated Press reports Northwest claims that more than 98% of the shares voted supported the all-stock acquisition of Northwest by Delta, in which the Northwest brand will disappear. Northwest President and CEO Doug Steenland called the vote, quote, "a great day for our employees who will receive equity in the combined company and more stable long-term employment opportunities." Delta reported a similar result with about 99% of its shareholders approving the deal. Delta is the third largest U.S. airline. Northwest is number five. The new Delta will easily eclipse American Airlines to become the world's number one passenger carrier, with more than 285 billion revenue passenger miles per year to Americans' 223 billion, according to estimates from the Air Transport Association based on 2007 numbers. The new Delta will serve 390 destinations in 67 countries after combining two route structures, which have very little overlap. Delta is expected to wind up with annual revenues of $35 billion, nearly 800 planes, and about 75,000 employees. Delta and Northwest bean counters estimate the combined airline will save $500 million a year in costs in its first year, and as much as $2 billion a year in subsequent years. The International Association of Machinists Union, which worries about its 12,500 members at Northwest getting folded into a larger non-union workforce, is still talking the deal down. IAM General VP Robert Roach reacted to word of the overwhelming approval of the merger by Northwest shareholders. Quote, "The Machinists Union believes Northwest and Delta will be unable to successfully combine their businesses without adversely impacting customers, suppliers, employees, and shareholders because of the two airlines' vastly different corporate cultures and mismatched aircraft fleets," unquote. A total of 17 U.S. Air Force and Army officers have received reprimands of varying severity in the case of four electrical fuses for ballistic missile nuclear warheads that were shipped to Taiwan by mistake in 2006. All the officers were involved in logistics positions. The Associated Press reports eight of them are generals, ranging in rank from 1 to 3 stars. Defense officials say the 6 Air Force and 2 Army generals were given disciplinary letters that vary in seriousness. Such marks on the record have often been known to end careers or at least hopes of promotion. One Air Force general has reportedly received an official letter of reprimand. Others, less severe letters of admonishment or counseling. The two Army Brigadier Generals, who worked at the Defense Logistics Agency in Virginia, received what are called memorandums of concern. There was no detail available on the actions taken against the lower-ranking officers. In early June, U.S. Defense Secretary Robert Gates demanded and got the resignations of General Michael Mosley, then Air Force Chief of Staff, and Air Force Secretary Michael Wynn, a civilian, in connection with a number of high-profile errors, including the erroneous shipment of the fuses to Taiwan. While there were no nuclear materials in the shipment, the connection of the parts to nuclear weapons programs hit a raw nerve in China, which has opposed any U.S. arms shipments to what it considers a rogue province. Up next on ANN, the FAA will compensate the survivor of a crash a judge ruled was caused by controllers. Lawyers are circling around a Learjet crash. And EADS announces another delay in the A400M. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for September 26th. I'm Paul Plack. The FAA has agreed to pay $4.5 million in damages to Gavin Hayworth, the survivor of a mid-air helicopter collision at Torrance Municipal Airport in California. Hayworth was a student making a solo flight in a Robinson R-22 on November 6, 2003. His machine collided with an R-44 flown by Robert Bailey and Brett Boyd, who both died. Hayworth was left with severe injuries, requiring doctors to put him into an induced coma for 6 weeks while they operated to repair numerous broken bones. The National Transportation Safety Board ruled in its final report on probable cause that the crash was Hayworth's fault, that he failed to follow the directions of controllers and failed to notify the tower that he was a student pilot. But Hayworth sued, and according to his attorneys, established to the satisfaction of U.S. District Judge Florence Marie Cooper, that the two controllers on duty were 100% to blame. His law firm notes a recording of the taped instructions given by the controllers, quote, clearly shows two confused traffic controllers not communicating with each other and giving inaccurate instructions to the pilots, unquote. Attorney Jeffrey Wolf noted, quote, the controllers' instructions to the pilots placed the two helicopters on a collision course, and from their respective positions, the pilots could not see one another, unquote. Before all the pieces of a September 19th Learjet crash were finished being picked up at Columbia Metropolitan Airport in South Carolina, lawyers are already drawing their swords. Two pilots and two passengers died when the jet apparently blew a tire, and the pilots were unable to safely stop the plane after aborting the takeoff. The two survivors of the accident, both entertainers, suffered severe burns. Stuart Frankel, a partner in the Los Angeles office of Kreindler & Kreindler LLP, is asking questions. Quote, what is the quality of the maintenance on these charter aircraft? Was the runway environment safe for the aircraft's departure? Was the aircraft properly checked out and configured by the crew prior to the attempted takeoff? What can be done to improve the procedures and protocols for charter operators? Unquote. Frankel did research and found two other incidences of Lear's having tire blowouts on takeoff, one in 1994, the other in 2001, and is already mentioning Goodyear by name. Quote, both cases, thankfully, resulted in no injuries to those aboard. Unquote. The attorney made no mention of the tens of thousands of uneventful Lear operations over that same period. The NTSB's probable cause report is likely at least 10 months away. There's nothing to suggest the lawsuits will wait that long. Airbus parent company EADS is involved in a public argument with one of its contractors over delays in the A400M military transport program. The Associated Press reports the A400M, which EADS has called Europe's most ambitious military procurement program ever, was supposed to be ready for its first flight later this year. But EADS announced yesterday it has indefinitely postponed that first flight because the A400M's engines are not ready. The company emphasized the schedule change does not affect its overall investor guidance for 2008. Oppenheim research analyst Winfried Becker called the news clearly negative and predicted EADS will have to cut its earnings guidance. The A400M's engines are coming from EPI Europrop International, a consortium involving ITP of Spain, MTU Aero Engines of Germany, Britain's Rolls-Royce, and Snecma Motors of France. EPI did not directly comment on catching the blame from Eads, but VP Jacques Desclos has said the engine has been ready since April, but the project is being held up by issues of integrating the engine to the plane's propeller and electronics, which he called a responsibility of Airbus Military. Since its announcement in 2003, Eads has booked 180 orders for the A400M from the governments of Belgium, Britain, France, Germany, Luxembourg, Spain, and Turkey. The strike against Boeing by the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers turns 3 weeks old at midnight tonight. Tomorrow, striking workers will pick up their first strike benefit checks from the union. The weekly payments of $150 will continue as long as the strike lasts. The Seattle Post-Intelligencer spoke with 22-year company veteran Joe White, who's going to be volunteering to help distribute checks at Green River Community College in Auburn tomorrow. When he's working, White makes about $70,000 a year as an electronics specialist in a delivery center. He told the PI he actually voted to accept Boeing's last contract offer and had planned on retiring in January. But when the ratification vote went 80-20 against the contract, he was among 87% of union members who voted to strike. He says he's ready for a long one. Quote, "I can go a long time, in excess of a year. I'll dip into my retirement if I have to," unquote. Doug Kite, Boeing's VP of Human Resources and chief negotiator in the talks with the union, emailed company managers on Monday to say, quote, "If there was a basis for getting back to the table, then we would be there. The union's list of issues, economic and non-economic, remains long, and the gaps in our positions are wide," unquote. Boeing is telling its customers development and production will be delayed by about the same duration as the strike itself. As the strike continues, it becomes less and less likely that the 787 Dreamliner will make its first flight by the end of this year, as had been planned. Also on the horizon, Boeing's contract with the Society of Professional Engineering Employees in Aerospace expires December 1st, and officials of that union are saying outsourcing will be just as big an issue for them as it is for the Machinists Union. Still ahead, a blasting crew in a quarry sends boulders raining down on an airport. Sun Country Airlines says it's business as usual, and a pilot survives the crash of a scaled P-51 replica. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design, maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, September 26th. I'm Paul Plack. Somebody screwed up big time near Burlington International Airport in Vermont Wednesday morning. The Burlington Free Press reports Main Drilling and Blasting, a subcontractor for SD Ireland Companies, set off an explosion in the quarry about 11 a.m. The contractor was apparently unsuccessful in directing the resulting debris away from people and property. Flying rocks, some described as being the size of microwave ovens, came raining down on the airport. At least five planes were damaged or destroyed, along with vehicles and other property. South Burlington Police Sergeant Dan Brunell observed, quote, "It's a big deal. There's a lot of damage," unquote. Early estimates run into hundreds of thousands of dollars. Jacob Kilpeck told the paper he was outside the Burlington Technical Center for an aviation technology class when he and others had to run into a nearby building to dodge falling debris. Later, he discovered a large rock had found the hood of his SUV. Officials with the airport and local utility companies spent the rest of the afternoon assessing the damage. Employees arriving Wednesday to their jobs at private investment and holdings firm Petters Group Worldwide were greeted by a rude surprise. Federal agents armed with subpoenas were there to search the company's offices in Minnetonka, Minnesota. One of the entities under criminal investigation is Petters Company Incorporated, which owns Polaroid, and Sun Country Airlines. The FBI, the U.S. Attorney's Office, the IRS Criminal Investigative Division, and the U.S. Postal Inspection Service are all part of the investigation, but so far, there's been nothing said publicly about what they're looking for. In the meantime, Sun Country CEO Stan Gatick quickly got the word out to customers. Quote, "We are owned by Petters Aviation, which is a separate, non-affected company. It is business as usual at Sun Country, and we do not anticipate any impact from these events. We continue to focus on improving our business in a challenging environment of high fuel prices and extending our recent profitable performance, unquote. GATEC added the airline will fly its regular schedule and charters. Quote, our commitment to Minnesota has not changed, unquote. Investigators are still working to determine what happened to cause an experimental aircraft to crash into trees near Schenectady County Airport in upstate New York Tuesday afternoon. The pilot was critically injured. Local cable channel Capital News 9 reports the pilot had conducted high-speed taxi testing at the airport near Glenville after having worked on the engine of his two-thirds scale P-51, then was cleared by controllers for takeoff. Witnesses told the Albany Times-Union the aircraft climbed out to about 200 feet AGL, appeared to lack power to clear obstructions, and disappeared below the tree line. A pilot who was taxiing out when the accident happened commented, quote, he said he lost power. They cleared him to land on any runway, but he didn't make it, unquote. The aircraft came to rest inverted in the trees. Rescuers extinguished a fire in the plane's engine compartment, pulled off the canopy, and freed the unidentified 42-year-old pilot. He was stabilized and reportedly taken by helicopter to Albany Medical Center with head injuries. And finally today, I told you a few minutes ago about China's third manned space launch on a mission which is planned to include China's first spacewalk. But I can't possibly describe the moments leading up to the launch as beautifully or dramatically as the Chinese government news agency's website. Quote, signal lights all were switched on. Various data show up on rows of screens. Hundreds of technicians staring at the screens without missing any slightest changes. 1 minute to go. The firm voice of the controller broke the silence of the whole ship. Now the target is captured 12 seconds ahead of predicted time. Air pressure in the cabin is normal. 10 minutes later, the ship disappears below the horizon. Warm clapping and excited cheering breaks the night sky, echoing across the silent Pacific Ocean, unquote. Aside from the obvious translation barrier, that's a great account of the launch. It's amazing in its detail, especially considering it was posted on the Xinhua News Agency's website something like 15 hours before the launch actually took place. Now, I'm not going to throw any stones here. Most news agencies do some writing ahead of actual events. Governments do it, too. Speechwriters for President Nixon composed two speeches for the Apollo 11 moon landing. One he could use if the landing was successful, the other if it was not. There's just one thing I'd like to know. How did the writer for Xinhua know ahead of time that normal cabin pressure would be achieved with 12 seconds to spare? Man, these guys are good. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, we'll hear pilots of Cirrus piston planes interviewed at this summer's Cirrus Owners and Pilots Association gathering discuss the extent to which general aviation is replacing the airlines in their personal lives and tell us if they're candidates for the new Vision SJ50 personal jet. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.